Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Ira joins us now. And before we get to the playoffs, and we'll go through each round, just get a quick thought on each series.
Sure.
Ira, the Waltons ousted, no surprise, just seconds ago. So tell me what you know in 2 minutes about the Lakers.
Well, I can tell you this, Mike, and it's sort of it's been discussed, but this is what happened with Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson wanted to bring in another executive to work with him and recommended to Jeannie Buss a current coach who's under contract should replace Luke Walton while he was still employed. Jeannie Buss said no, and Magic said, I'm out. That's what happened there. So Magic, has been widely reported, did not want Luke Walton back as coach, but also his suggestion as a replacement was someone who was under contract and so was not necessarily palatable or even available to the Lakers. So now we're going to go through all the names of who is a LeBron James guy. It's going to start with Ty Lue because they have their championship background.
Right.
And Mike, to me, this will tell you where the Lakers are headed. Again, like I mentioned before, LeBron does not have a no-trade clause. He just doesn't. It's the way the machinations work in the NBA. Will the Lakers continue to sell out their immediate future, go all in on LeBron? If it is, it'll be one of his guys. If it's not, it'll tell you that they realize that at 34 and coming off really two injuries now, that maybe they don't see this as the LeBron future anymore. So I think the next direction is key. They have to get their general manager and their front office in place first. And then we'll see. Do they capitulate? Do they kowtow? Or was this all part of the plan when LeBron came in anyway, that I'm basically having a franchise takeover, which we all knew happened in Cleveland in the first place?
Ira, is there any chance in the world that somebody calls up, has the first pick in the draft, and says to the Lakers, I'll give you the first pick in the draft for LeBron James, and they say yes?
Well, here's the thing. I think they'd say yes in a heartbeat.
I don't think
anyone's going to offer that. I mean, my God bless LeBron.
It's a quick fix for a team that,
It is. And that's what scares the bejeebers out of me when it comes to the Knicks.
Well, if the Knicks could do that, I think they might do it. To know that they had LeBron for 2 years or 3 years, if they ever knew they could do that, I think they would do it. I really do. I really believe they would. Now, I never thought the Lakers would consider it.
But that would be too short.
Are the Lakers fed up with him?
The Lakers didn't realize what the LeBron experience was until you lived the LeBron experience.
And he was bad this year. He did a lot of petty, stupid things this year, like showing up his team on the court and stuff like that, which we have not seen him do before to that level.
Mike, I'll take it a step further. Who's LeBron's agency? It's Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. They started the whole Anthony Davis get me out of here and trade rumors where every single one of LeBron's teammates would show up, in El Segundo, to Staples Center for the Lakers, finding out that they were going to be traded for Anthony Davis. He was in the middle of that also. There is no connection with LeBron and almost anyone in the Lakers organization. This is when we'll see if a player can reformulate the equation to his liking. Maybe he has that kind of power.
But does he go right to the owner? I mean, is he connected where the owner is going to listen to LeBron?
He absolutely is, because they made that move. But on the other hand, the owner now experience, or Jeannie Buss experience now, what the LeBron experience is like. I can tell you this, Mike. If the Lakers can get Zion Williamson at the cost of LeBron James, they would do it in a heartbeat. And I don't think there's a team in the league, if they had Zion Williamson, I know what you think about the Knicks, but man, you're talking long view. You're talking, even if Zion is not the next LeBron, and that's impossible, or at least difficult, he could at least be the next Anthony Davis, which this entire league has been salivating about now for almost 2 years.
Are they unhappy? I mean, are they fed up with LeBron, or are they understanding that this first year was going to be tough and they'll move into the LeBron phase two?
They are learning what life with LeBron is like, which you only experience. Think about the Heat and how it went to crap the first year, also, and then you decide.
Yeah, but that was what a trip to the finals, though.
Yes, but also, but it still was very ugly on the way. Remember the whole bump gate where
right.
they were exposed to
No us? Question, but I mean, they didn't make the playoffs this year. I mean, you know, and he sat out for 3 months,
well,
so I mean, 2 months.
So
yeah.
Look, when LeBron was healthy around Christmas time, that was a number four or five team in the very tough West. When LeBron is right, they're fine. They have cap space. They have a draft choice. They can get back to where they want to go.
Who can he get? What is LeBron? Let me ask you this. What is LeBron's plan? What does he want?
Okay, what LeBron wants is different than what LeBron can get. What LeBron wants is Kevin Durant. What LeBron wants is probably Kyrie Irving. What LeBron is going to get, and I've mentioned this to you before, I think goes down to the level of Jimmy Butler. Because I think the other guys are going to realize, I don't need that kind
of head. Would Durant go there?
I don't think so. Durant wants his team. Durant's already done the thing of, I'm going to be part of someone. Let's face it, even right now, he's second fiddle in most fans' views to Steph Curry. He doesn't want that. He goes to the Knicks. He's the alpha. Then it becomes a question of who's willing to be the beta. Is Kyrie Irving willing to step back one more time? Is there a different kind of free agent? Maybe in the Butler or Tobias Harris mode, or even Kemba Walker, I think would be more willing in that. I think what this league has shown, there's four or five guys who think of themselves as the man and will simply not tolerate being anything short of the man.
Fascinating. So what is your gut as to what happens with the Lakers?
I think the Lakers wind up, like I said, getting a second-tier free agent. I think Jimmy Butler is the guy. I think they go ahead and they say to LeBron, we're going to go a year or two with this. We're invested. We have no other choice. They hired Tyronn Lue. And I think the Lakers, for the first time ever, just have to make the decision of whether they move away from being legacy franchise, whether the legacy of the Lakers simply doesn't have the cachet it once did. Sort of like when the Knicks try to go back in history and bring in Phil Jackson and saying, we're the Knicks. We're going to do it our way. You know what? Sometimes you have to completely change. So I think the Lakers are so far into it, that's what they do in the short term. And then if LeBron is 35 years old, still isn't the same player, Mike, he might not even make All-NBA third team this year. Then I think the Lakers have to realize they need to really start all over again, maybe find the kind of team that wants a 1 or 2 year rental and go in that direction. I think LeBron has lost a lot of his luster because, you know what, at 34 you need to be a Superman to make it work, and maybe he's just not a super of a man at this moment.
All right. Now, the playoffs, for the first time in 8 years, there's no LeBron as the hook. So what is the hook?
Yeah, and I heard you on the previous segment, and I agree, especially in the Eastern Conference. I'm looking at almost four garbage series. I mean, God bless Brooklyn and what they did, but they're glad to be there. God bless Orlando. They're glad to be there. Detroit, glad to be there. And probably when Indiana lost Oladipo, glad to be there. So when you look at those opening round series, you just don't see much upset potential unless the 76ers implode. So you have to look to the West. I think the matchup in the West...
I have a gut feeling that the Nets are going to play... are going to scare the Sixers. I just have a gut feeling.
And I know people are saying, I'm agreeing because I agree with you, but that's the one series I have told people when I've spoken to other people about this. I don't know what to make of the Sixers for this reason. I look at that team sometimes and I see five independent contractors. I am not so sure that Joel Embiid wouldn't prefer to be an ultimate star and media personality than an NBA champion. I'm not sure that Ben Simmons is totally comfortable being a number two to Joel Embiid. I think that's an issue. Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler are both impending free agents. This is their chance to cash in. Do they make it about themselves? J.J. Redick is an impending free agent. He has another issue going on there as far as what he's going to do. So I agree. It can go very sideways. I will say this about the Nets, and I think obviously, you know, you've seen tons of them during the season. The Nets are the kind of team that could be very good or very awful.
Yeah, they can make a lot of threes, that's why. Yeah.
Yes, and the Sacramento game, the great comeback, awful and then great, we've seen it. So I think if we get the best of the Nets, D'Angelo Russell, absolutely emerging star. I love Spencer Dinwiddie, especially off the bench, Caris LeVert. If those guys play their best game, I think they could force the Sixers to a seventh game.
All right, and I agree. Okay, and there's nothing else in the East. We know that. Golden State Warriors, Clippers, nothing. I mean, we know that. Denver, San Antonio. A lot of people picking the Spurs to upset them. I don't see it. You see it?
Yeah, I do, Mike, for this reason. I love Nikola Jokic and what he does, and he's a fulcrum of that team. But then you get to the point with the Nuggets and say to yourself, who's the second-best Nugget? And most people would say maybe Jamal, their point guard Jamal Murray, I'm sorry, lost over there for a second, or you know, Gary Harris or Will Barton. In other words, they have a very nice supporting cast, unless Paul Millsap steps back to what he is. I look at the Spurs and I say to myself, they have LaMarcus Aldridge, they have DeMar DeRozan, they have a couple of guys.
And a coach.
Obviously, and Pop is going to do what he can. Last year, of course, his tragedy, the rough first-round matchup against the Warriors, just wasn't going to be their year. So my point being, if Jokic is off for the Nuggets, they're in deep trouble because they don't have a 1A and 1B. If Aldridge doesn't have a good game, DeRozan can do it. If DeRozan doesn't have a good game, Aldridge can do it. I think that for a 2-7 series, that's almost like a 2-15 in the NCAA. You feel like you at least might have a chance in that. Yeah, I think there's a chance that in the bottom half of the bracket, in that 2-7, I think the Spurs can absolutely push the Nuggets.
Okay.
I think the other question is in the West is this. I think the Rockets falling to number 4 has really shaken up the bracket because no one expected Warriors-Rockets in the second round.
Right.
And I don't think the NBA expected that. Look, Mike, you know, when you get to the conference
and the
finals,
Jazz didn't expect this at all.
Yeah,
they didn't
at all. Right. It just turns into that in a rough matchup for them. But here the NBA wanted to have the ultimate conference finals, that at least they could say, look, whoever the Warriors play, we're going to have them. It won't be competing nights. It won't be late starting games. And now all of a sudden, Warriors-Rockets, the series you probably want to see most, is going to be a second-round series. I think the Rockets get past the Jazz. I don't have any question of the Warriors getting past the Clippers, who when they traded Tobias Harris, they were cashing in on the season, probably surprised themselves there. My other question with Houston is this. James Harden and what he gets away with during the season. One, he gets every foul call. Does he get that? But also that step back jumper that he takes. Might someone actually call traveling in the playoffs?
Yeah,
might,
it would be nice.
He made his bread and butter. Yeah, exactly. Because you know what? Now all the eyeballs are on there. So really, I think the entire thing for Houston, as it's been for years, is how will James Harden be officiated?
Yeah, I think Utah could do a little more. And I'll tell you, I know everyone says they got to have a second scorer. You know, I don't know if they would take it seriously, but in the last game of the season that went to overtime, Grayson Allen scored 40 in that game. You know, that Grayson Allen can score. I mean, I don't know how much they give him a chance to play, but he can score. He really can.
Both teams are mostly playing reserves because the last thing any NBA team wants to do on closing night is play.
I like
overtime.
Grayson Allen, though. I always thought he could score, and he scored 40 that night. So he could play a little bit.
And down the road, he spent some time with their G League team also. He's a guy being groomed for down the road. We know that Rubio's an older player. They have some older guards. So he's the guy who comes forward. But it'll be interesting with the Rudy Gobert dynamic there. They will have a rim protector.
Yep.
So will Harden get as deep into the paint as he wants?
No, that Jazz is dangerous. That Jazz played really well down the stretch, too.
They're classic overachievers. They always have a hard opening schedule. They fall like under 500. Everyone says the world's collapsing, and then they come back. I just think this is the year of the Rockets. And let's face it, Mike, the same question we ask every year about Chris Paul. Is he standing at the end? Is he healthy? They gave him a huge free agent contract after the trade last year. How much wear are they going to get out of him? That's the other thing when you talked about the playoffs without LeBron, is some of these older stars, how much is left in them? And I think Chris Paul is one of those guys.
The other thing is a lot of people, just like they're picking the Spurs, a lot of people picking the Thunder.
Well, you know what? If you were to tell people before the season the Thunder are going to play the Trailblazers in the playoffs, who's the number 3 and who's the number 6?
Right.
Everyone would say, well, of course the Trailblazers are number 6.
Absolutely.
They only have McCollum and Lillard. Now, the problem is Paul George is injured, and he has a shoulder, and there's a question about the start of the series. I got to tell you, if you were to ask me one team in the NBA I couldn't figure out, I would tell you the Thunder. Because you would think, let's face it, Paul George basically had a career year. Russell Westbrook, for the third season in a row, average the triple-double. How the heck are they the number 6 seed? I know they lost the defense of Roberson, but they got a good backup point guard, and Dennis Schroeder came over from Atlanta. I don't understand that team. They should be better. That could be a case of individual talent not adding up. And I think we both agree, Mike, that Billy Donovan is a really good coach, so that shocks me. Yes, I think they should win the series. I don't care what the seeds are. I don't care what home court are. If Russell Westbrook is what he thinks he is, and if Paul George is what he became this season, I think they should win that series.
They are the best. Better team. I really believe it, too. I think they. I agree with you that one. I think the Nuggets will get past the Spurs, but I agree. I think the Thunder will beat the Blazers. I really do think that'll be the case, no question. And what would you say about the Celtics right now? I mean, big picture, what is your opinion of the Celtics?
I keep waiting on them, and I still think they're sort of my chalk favorite for the East based on the roster. Now, the Marcus Smart injury is significant because he's their best defensive perimeter wing. And without him, it's going to be different. But you know what, Mike? Kyrie has made the plays before. I still trust him. 10 seconds to go in a game, tie score. I'm not sure there's many players in the NBA I would rather have the ball, including LeBron, than Kyrie Irving. Al Horford is an absolute glue player that no one mentions. He is made for the playoffs. He will keep his team together. If Gordon Hayward can do what he's really done the last four to six weeks of the season.
He's played okay. He's played okay the last stretch of games. He's been good.
Now, at $30 million, he should be better than okay, but you take what you can get. Boston still has the roster. And people always say the same thing. If you're going to go through a rough patch, you're better off going through it before the playoffs. So when I look at their setup, I don't think the Pacers will be much trouble in the first round. Look, Indiana just survived the Oladipo injury. They get the winner of the Sixers-Nets series. Again, I think they are far better than those teams. I think when we get down to... Rather, in the second round, they play the winner of the Bucks-Pistons series. Are the Bucks a team that's just glad to be there? Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA, complete all-around-wise. But the playoffs were about that one moment of truth. So I'll ask you, Mike, 10 seconds to go. Who would you rather have the ball in their hands, Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kyrie Irving?
Irving.
Yeah, because he's done it. He's been there. Heck, he won a championship on a shot there. So I think the Celtics are pretty well positioned in the East. My only question is the Toronto Raptors, because you know what?
Yeah, this I think they're still they're the X factor. They are the X factor, and also. I don't know what to make of the Sixers because, as you said, they have ability, but I don't know if they're going to play like a team. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't. And also, Toronto, this is not just about this year for the Raptors. This is about the future, let's say, 3 or 4 seasons in the East. Because if you take that roster and you peel off Kawhi Leonard, I know they did well in the games that he missed this year, but long-term, they have to have him. They sold their soul when they made that trade with DeMar DeRozan. I mean, most people will tell you that Kawhi Leonard's not coming back. So really, it's all or nothing right now for Toronto. They fired the coach of the year in Dwayne Casey because they couldn't beat LeBron. Now LeBron's gone. This is the absolute moment of truth for the Toronto Raptors, even if their ratings don't count in the U.S.,
All right, listen, we'll talk. Thanks very much, Ira. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Ira Windeman, back after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.